First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. All right, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number two, approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes from October 23rd. Is there any objection if we add an item to the agenda?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The item is going to come under 5B1, Graduate Curriculum Committee Minutes. This will be a minor change form, which is available up here on the desk. Any objections? Okay. Seeing none, then, we have amended the agenda to include item 5B1, Graduate Curriculum Committee, minor change. Back to item number two, the minutes of October 23rd. Any objections? Okay, then, seeing none, the minutes are adopted. Item number three, we're going to start out with a guest speaker. I have the pleasure of introducing today's guest speaker, the Vice President for Student Affairs, Adam Rockman. Let me say one or two more things, and then Adam can come up. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree in Psychology and Spanish, bienvenido, from the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, a Master's of Social Work from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and a Doctor of Education and Executive Leadership from St. John Fisher College. Before coming to Queens, VP Rockman served in various student affairs, student services role over a period of more than 25 years at the Fashion Institute of Technology, Princeton University, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, LaSalle University, and the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. His current responsibilities include providing supervision to all non-academic areas within student affairs, student development, student life, student services, and co-curricular initiatives and issues here at the college. In addition, he is a good person to know because he provides fiscal oversight of budgets totaling over $10 million in tax levy, grant, and auxiliary enterprise monies. Vice President Adam Rockman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I appreciate the applause, by the way. It's always nice to hear. And I wanted to thank you for the invitation to come and address this body today. I will not take much of your time. I just had a few items that that I wanted to put out there and leave open for questions, if there are any. The first item is something that's on the agenda for today, which is is actually on the agenda fairly frequently, which is elections. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the schedule of elections or the dates of elections are going to be discussed at today and voted on at today's meeting. What I wanted to discuss is what everyone at this college knows about the elections process. It tends to be an unfriendly process. Sometimes. There tend to be a lot of complaints, there tend to be a lot of accusations. We're going to try as best we can to nip those in the bud before they happen. I've been meeting regularly with Raj Maheshwari, the current president of the Student Association, and with others on campus, and we are going to be instituting a few things which we think will help in this process. For one, we're going to have what we call a candidates getting to know you dinner. And that will be after the candidates are announced and before the electioneering process begins in earnest, we will have all of the candidates running for positions meet in one room, get to know each other in a safe space where everyone can kind of talk about what their expectations are. At that meeting, we will also talk about general expectations of civility and what it means to conduct oneself as an adult in this process. Some of the other things that we discussed as possibilities were everyone knows that students walk around with laptops trying to get other students to vote. One of the things we talked about was requiring those students who walk around with laptops to have a photo ID badge displayed, so that if there are any concerns about their behavior, they can be readily identified, and with the hope that would quell any inappropriate behavior before it happens. So things like that we hope to institute, as well as also a debate. These are things that I'll be talking about in continuous conversation with the Student Association and anyone who's running for a position in the coming elections, as well as the Elections Committee. The second item is about Title IX training. Every student in the room is aware that we have been harassing you to take the online, I use that term very lightly, please know that. To take the online Title IX sexual harassment, sexual assault training module. You hopefully know by now that these are federal guidelines that we are trying to be in compliance with. As of today's date, I believe we are close to about 7,000 students who have completed the training. So we're in very good shape. It would be ideal if we had 19,000 students who have completed the training, but hey, we're trying. We're also going to be having additional training with all orientation and registration sessions that are upcoming. The next item is academic integrity on campus. All of the faculty and staff in the room, as well as the students, know that we have a fairly rigorous academic integrity policy on campus. And I want to remind everyone, students, faculty, and staff alike, that if there are ever any concerns about academic integrity on campus, please do not hesitate to report those to my office. You can call, you can email, you can stop by my office located in room 101 Freeze Hall. There is also on our website, there is an academic integrity violation report form. There's a link on the right side of the page. You can fill that out and click send and it should get to us. And we will deal with those cases as they come in. And I want to reiterate that is not just for faculty and staff, to report. If any student notices a case of academic integrity violations in their classes or amongst their peers, by all means, please report those as well, because those do affect you. The next item is about emergency grants and loans that are available to students. This is hopefully something that is well known, but we want to make sure that it continues to be well known. For the last 5 years now, I think, we have had access to what we call the Petrie Foundation Student Emergency Grant. This is money that's given to us by the Carol and Milton Petrie Foundation. The money is a grant that we can distribute to students who are facing emergency situations where a small financial grant will help them to remain in school. The definitions of that vary widely. There are some specific things that we cannot help with. For one, that grant cannot help with paying past due tuition. So, for instance, some of the things we have helped is students who are facing homelessness or are experiencing homelessness, students who are experiencing medical emergencies and who do not have funds to take care of those medical emergencies, and other things like that. So if you know of any students who are having concerns, please ask them to come to my office, tell me who they are, and I'll reach out to them. We'll be happy to do that. The worst that'll happen is if we can't use the grant for that purpose, we will try to help them find something else to help them. We also have an emergency loan available through our office. That is a loan of up to $1,000 that is interest-free and that must be paid back by the end of the academic year. But that is a good situation for students who, for some reason or another, have an outstanding, at this time of year specifically, have an outstanding tuition bill due and they want to register for the next semester. They have a loan that's coming due and they need the money right now. We can usually get an emergency loan turnaround in about 24 to 48 hours. So it's a good thing. Again, please keep that in mind and please send those students to our office as you become aware of them. The last item has to do with counseling services. Well, actually, there's two more items. First one is about counseling services that are available. As we enter into a few things in this time of year, first of all, the days are getting a lot shorter. Anyone who's ever studied psychology has heard of seasonal affective disorder. It's a real thing. People, when days get shorter, some people get very depressed. We have counseling service, and not only for that, but for many other reasons. The holidays, stress around exams and finals, home life issues, et cetera. We have free counseling services available to all students. You students pay for this with your student fees, so please utilize those services. They are also on the first floor of Freeze Hall. All you have to do is come in or call, schedule an appointment with a counselor, a licensed mental health counselor, and you will have that appointment in short order. And again, those appointments can be short term, just a one or two appointments, or they can be longer term in certain cases as well. And finally, I wanted to discuss the behavioral intervention team. Again, as we have seen in the last number of years, cases of behavioral issues on campus, and this is not students only, this is everyone on campus, students, faculty, staff, visitors. If you notice any behaviors that concern you, and it can be anything, we have a behavioral intervention team. And that team is tasked with connecting the dots and figuring out when, you know, if we get a report about, let me take this off the back of the students, and let's say a faculty member who's a couple of students in one class has said, this faculty member is saying weird things, or two different faculty members in two different departments are saying, I have this student who seems very disheveled and is not paying attention in class and has stopped coming to class. And that student happens to be the same person. These are things that the behavioral intervention team can, again, connect the dots and find the means to assist those students, faculty, staff, and visitors. This is not a disciplinary thing. This is about helping. So I want to make sure that everyone knows that we have those services available too. The behavioral intervention team information and reporting information is also available on the Student Affairs website on the right-hand side, links down on the bottom right side. And let me make sure I have everything, and I think that's all I have. Does anyone have any questions for me? No? Very good. Thank you all very much. Yeah. It depends. Did everyone hear that? Would we pursue it if it was more than one report about a certain person? And the answer to that is no. We would pursue it on any number of reasons, depending on how many reports there are. Certainly, if there's more than one report, depending on the severity of the case. Right. Exactly. But for instance, if there is a report that piques our interest enough that clearly there's an issue going on, whether it be student, faculty, staff, visitor, we will address that as quickly as possible in the most appropriate means. Yeah.
Hi, Bobby Brody from Graduate School of Library and Information Studies. You do amazing things, lots of amazing things, but I'm a little confused. I'm under the impression that the Senate makes the rules about elections, and I was a little concerned about the badge thing. Could you clarify, please?
Sure. That was just that's not a rule. That's not a decision that has been made. That is a suggestion that has been raised. And if it's something that is to be moved forward on, that would come to this body for a vote.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's a great question. I appreciate you asking that. The answer to that is no. Specifically because the counselors in our counseling center are not specialists in learning disabilities, which is what you're talking about. If a student is requesting additional time on an exam or on a project, the general rule is that they need approval from the Office of Special Services, as you said. If a student finds that they have never been diagnosed with any kind of learning disability, what they can do is there's an office on campus, and the name is going to escape me right now. Psychological Services.
Psychological.
Thank you, the Psychological Center, and it's in. Is it in Razoran? Thank you.
The person's name is Yvette Caro.
Yvette Caro, yes. Thank you. See, I have my posse here helping me. Yes, Yvette Caro. Now, students can get a psychological assessment there. There is a cost to it. Now, if a student is finding that they don't have the financial means to afford that, there are a number of ways when we might be able to assist that. One is through the Petrie Foundation Student Emergency Grant that we were talking about. Another is the Office of Special Services actually has access to grant monies to assist with that as well. Absolutely, yes. Center. Special services.
Adam's office, please realize that if a person needed such a thing, they would have to do it with a little bit of advance notice.
Yeah.
You can't come in with a
finals. Right. Right.
Hopefully the person has realized that they had some issue.
Okay, my name is Anika. I'm the NYPERG board rep for Queens College. I have a question about the student elections process. So part of the laptop initiative is, in my knowledge, is to get more students aware about it because students don't really take the initiative to vote online, which is the opportunity that's given to them. So is there a way that we could have, instead of like a dinner where like candidates get to know each other, but like an info session where students are able to question the candidates and ask them about their policies? Because part of the response that I've gotten from students who are like, what, there's elections going on? Or like, oh, I'm supposed to vote now, but I don't know what's going on. And obviously we can't reach the whole student body, but if we could have an idea where we could reach some students, it would make it would make it a lot easier, maybe more fair.
Yeah, it's a great question. And that's definitely one of the things that we've also talked about with the, that I've talked about with the president of the Student Association, Raj Maheshwari, and we'll continue to talk about is as the candidates are named, one of the things we had hoped to do is have a formal statement of platform / debate / public forum. Things that are very much still in discussion, but that's absolutely one of the things that we've been talking about as well.
Mm-hmm. May I be so bold as to recommend that you include the chair and perhaps some members of the election committee in these discussions?
Yeah, absolutely. When we move forward with these discussions, these have been discussions as part of other meetings. These haven't been specific to elections. So yes, okay. Those are forthcoming.
The chair of the elections committee, as you know, is sitting right there.
Raveen Kanagaratnam, freshman sophomore representative. This is involving the elections. Instead of, as a suggestion, instead of having the candidates have laptops for the voting process, is voting booths a possibility? Is voting booths, can it be a possibility?
This is an elections committee decision, right? Yeah. But I my understanding there were voting booths. I think we've been doing online voting for five years now, or 4 years, 8 years. Has it been that long? Wow. Okay. I've been here longer than 8 years. The voting booths were no better. Let's put it that way. In fact, they were significantly worse. In terms of the negative impact in the electioneering, the cost was significantly higher. And those, I think, were a lot of issues as to why we moved away from them. So I don't know if they would be considered again, but. Okay, very good, thank you all very much.
Okay, any announcements, reports, memorials? Please come to the mics.
Just as we have the Persian Club, we have a Persian formal this coming up Thursday. It's gonna be a huge event, so we would love all of you to come. It's $5. The tickets are $5 in advance, and it's $7 at the door. And it's open to everyone. There's going to be Persian food and belly dancing and music, and it's going to be fun.
Okay, if there are no further announcements, then let's move to committee reports. 5A is the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee, dated October 23rd. And please, in your packets, normally this is blue. Well, we ran out of blue, so make sure you're looking at the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee. The graduate is also yellow this time.
I'd like to move the minutes of the October 23rd Undergraduate Curriculum Committee and ask unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Seeing none, motion carries. Next item, Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes, October 15th.
I move that the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes of October 15th be approved.
I have a question.
You have a question.
Okay. Right. It concerns prerequisites for courses. For example, on page 3 for physics, I noticed there are several physics courses that are being considered. quantum mechanics, statistical physics, analytical mechanics, electricity and magnetism, modern physics laboratory. The thing that bothers me or puzzles me is that I don't see prerequisites for these courses. And it puzzles me because for the undergraduate courses, also put forth by the physics department, for the undergraduate curriculum committee report on page 2 and 3, for various physics, undergraduate physics courses, I see prerequisites. So I'm puzzled as to why there are no prerequisites listed for these courses. And what my one of my concerns is that, since I'm a member of the math department, that I would like to see what math prerequisites there are for these very, very theoretical physics courses.
Ozzie, did you have any comment on this, sir?
I think it's common in beginning physics courses not to list the whole set of undergraduate courses that are required to take. It would be a very long list to get once you get to the beginning graduate level.
Right. Yeah. This is an, from what I understand, yeah, this is an MA program.
Yes.
And in the MA program, in order to be admitted to the MA program,
right,
the person would have had to have successfully completed a BA in physics or its equivalent with all of the attendant prerequisites for all of the undergraduate courses from whatever institution they are taking. And therefore, obviously, in many cases, I am sure that a lot of them have math prerequisites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and that this has been accepted as part of the admissions process. So therefore, typically, as you understand the graduate bulletin, if you look at the graduate bulletin, not only in physics, but in virtually every program, the only kinds of graduate prerequisites that are listed is if a program wants particular courses taken in particular orders. They do not go back to saying that you take every course everywhere. That is decided usually at the admissions process.
I object to the answer. You could use this same argument for undergraduate courses also, but we don't.
But these are graduate courses.
So what? I went to graduate school too, and I remember prerequisites listed for my courses. And so what I think is, I think these graduate courses should have a list of prerequisites, including the immediate prerequisites. No, you don't have to go back to undergrad school. You don't have to go back to high school. You don't
have to interrupt you because the issue that is on the table is a change in the program, not a change in courses. Every last one of these courses, Physics 625, Physics 641, Physics 611, Physics 615, Physics 671, have been passed by this body already as courses. You have done that already. You have made the passing, and the argument about listing either graduate prerequisites or undergraduate prerequisites should have been brought up at the time when you were considering the course. This is considering the program.
Again, I refer back to the undergraduate curriculum committee report, where for physics courses as well as other courses, prerequisites are listed. And I think that a true understanding of the nature of a course, to have a true understanding of the nature of a course, we should have a list of prerequisites.
But materials before the graduate curriculum committee does not include undergraduate courses. Okay, I'm sorry.
Further debate?
Just to say that what is not included is the courses that are required for admission. So it's understood that everybody who might take that course has those prerequisites.
I would have liked to have seen the prerequisites listed.
Any further debate?
What's that?
Any further debate?
No, but I would like to have my minutes passed.
Okay.
Thank you. Or at least voted on. Thank you.
Okay. In that case, no further debate. All in favor of the motion? Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. I do have a second item. Unfortunately, it was inadvertently left off the minutes, but was considered by the Graduate Curriculum Committee at its October 15th meeting. The copies are in front. What it basically is from the art department, in which there was a name and change in course title to the MFA Graduate Colloquium, and they now stipulated four specific courses that the student would have to take rather than having these repeated courses. I would request, this is a minor change form, I request unanimous consent.
Is there any objection to unanimous consent? Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, then it's approved. Let's go on. Next item. The nominating committee report, dated November 13th.
Marion Fish had to leave early. She had a conflict, so I request on her behalf that the nominating committee report be accepted with unanimous consent.
Any objections? All right, seeing none, the motion is passed. Undergraduate Scholastic Standards Committee.
My name is Joyce Tang. I am a senator and an ex officio member of the Undergraduate Scholastic Standards Committee. At a meeting held on October 15, 2014, the Undergraduate Scholastic Standard Committee approved the nomination of Mr. Charles Lloyd for the position of the executive officer. I would like to make a motion to accept USSC's nomination of Charles Lloyd for the position of executive officer for a two-year term from 2015 to 2017 by unanimous consent. Thank you.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion is approved. Okay, the next item on the agenda, the Elections Committee report, October 27th, 2014.
Simone Yearwood, Chair. Elections Committee report dated October 27, 2014. And I make a motion for the dates to be accepted.
Let me make one point of clarification, just so everyone knows. The date of record, which here it's listed as February 13th next year, that is a date by which all faculty and students have to have their records, and they would be running on what's available as of that date, the date of record.
So, Danielle Yuzita, Student Senate Chair, we object to these dates. On behalf of the Student Senate, I would like to make a friendly amendment to the proposed nominations and election dates by the Election Committee. We propose for nominations to open at 12:01 a.m. on February 23rd and go through March 9th instead of February 9th and March 23rd. We also want to decrease Elections Week by one day, so the elections period would be proposed beginning 12:01 on April 12th and go through April 15th.
Okay, it's not a friendly amendment, it's an amendment, and open for the debate.
Well, I have no problem with the nomination period. Election period, we try to give it, we're a 7-day college, we meet 7 days a week, classes are held 7 days a week. We wanted to have the opportunity to combine, give the opportunity for all Queens College students once on campus to be able to have the option of voting on campus. So we chose a weekend and then Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday sessions. So that was the thought behind the 5-day period. We initially requested a 7-day period. We understood the concern about 7 days and we tried to compromise with 5. That's my opinion.
I mean, being part of this year's election, it was extremely hectic for a 5-day elections period. So we thought cutting it down at least by one day will help students and or the confusion on campus, because it's been very crazy this past year. So we're just cutting it till be on Wednesday instead of going through Thursday.
I just wanted to make a note of the fact that the day that elections are set to begin, 4/12, is the day before Monday classes resume after spring break. I just thought that might be something that people might want to know had they not realized that this is literally the day that break is over.
So you're not wrong. Okay. You're right. Okay. I looked at these things. It's right. The 9th of what? Oh, we are the 12th. The 12th is the first day of weekend classes. Right. Sunday classes resume on the 12th. So this was a well thought out plan. The dates were not selected just out of the air. So, but of course, it's on the floor.
Can I ask if we could divide this question instead of taking the whole motion, nominations and elections, could we divide it and first vote on the nomination period and then come back and debate on the election period? Would that be possible?
Sure.
Okay, the motion then for the first part, the nominations period, they begin at 12:01 a.m. and instead of February 9th, they would begin on February 23rd. Instead of closing on February 23rd, they would close on March 9th of next year. Any further debate on the first part of the question? If not, let's vote on it. All in favor of the nominations period as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. Okay, let's go back to debate then on the elections period.
So again, you said your concern was Thursday students won't be able to get a chance? Well, usually you're here Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday,
no,
Thursday.
Some programs meet once a week, one day a week. Some graduate programs, quite a number of programs, you can only meet once a week. You're not necessarily here 2 days a week. It's not Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday. Sometimes you're here Monday, Thursday. So, you know, there's no difference. Sometimes you're only here 1 day a week,
right,
which is why we included the 4 days of the week itself. And then 1 weekend day. And there's no bearing on me personally, so I'm just putting this out on the floor behind our thinking of selecting the 5-day period itself. Not everyone here will be here Monday, Wednesday. What if you decide to skip your Monday class and only come in on Wednesday? Or Tuesday or Thursday. So we just wanted that opportunity 4 days a week to have that presence. And I think with working with Adam's group, trying to have a better election process, and I've been here when it was in-person booth, and I worked at the building with the polling site. I think with us reaching out and the campaigners being a little bit more respectful of each other and the students, having it one extra day should not be a hardship. That's just my the committee's belief.
Further debate on the issue.
I'm Chris Labial, freshman sophomore rep. I think with VP Rockman's program with publicizing elections, mm-hmm. having all the information available for the students on who's being nominated, who they can elect to be their student body president, with those kinds of things being implemented, I think we already have the means to vote on our own. We all have the opportunity. First time voting for me as a freshman, I went online that weekend and I casted my ballot from home.
Right.
We all get the same opportunity every day of elections week. Right. The only difference for those people who come on weekends is that they wouldn't be doing it at school. Like they'd be getting on their computer at home. If they would like to vote during the times where they're not gonna be at school, but elections week is happening on campus, they'd be voting from their computers. If they cared that much, if that opportunity is available, they don't have to be on campus to vote.
Okay. I object a little bit to your then if they cared that much about voting. What about the adult collegiate program? Perhaps they're only here one day a week, so they're not following, they're not focusing because they have families. And the only time they get the chance to see what's happening on campus is when they're physically here. So we're opening that door for that community to have a voice and a presence while on campus, even if they don't have to vote while on campus. That's the first time that someone made mention this earlier about not even realizing that it was elections period, even though people are walking around, campaigning, trying to encourage them to vote. But sometimes that's the only time they realize what's going on because they have other things. So actually, it's just giving them the opportunity. Whatever the floor decides, I will accept. I have no choice but to accept.
Hi, I'm Sarah Wolf in the special ed graduate teacher training program. So all of the folks I know intensively, except for some of you whom I met, are here once a week. And I would say to you all that they don't fully get the sense of community that you get by being here as frequently. They're here once a week. So the flip side is that you might actually reach folks inclusive of the candidates that you're describing. So it could be, I'm not sure I fully appreciate the negative that you're trying to finesse about the number of days. So I'm ignorant to that issue that you're addressing, but the flip side might be opening it to yet another layer of folks. So I don't really know. I think the wider opportunity to vote would reach more folks. So I don't know if I'm stirring your pots. I don't know if it's the number of days so very much as the variety of days. So I'm only saying that, not to stir the pot.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Sorry, Erica Davis, Secretary of the Academic Senate and an Academic Senator. The one thing that I took issue with, in fact, with both the amendment and the original proposal, is the fact that if we're trying to reach the broadest number of students on this campus, there are students who take just Friday classes, and there are students who take just Saturday classes. So who are we to decide what days of the week students are allowed to feel like they're a part of this community?
Hello, I'm Daniel Shmolia, Senate at large. I've been with the voting process for about 3 years now, and by Thursday, most people already decided they voted there already. So by then, at that point, the adding that other day almost be pointless at one point.
Any further?
I move to call the question.
Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor of calling the question, raise your hand. Call. Okay, noes? Unanimous. So we've called the question. The question now is beginning.
Change the end date.
Yeah.
From the 16th to the 15th.
The beginning date stays April 12th. The end date instead of the 16th is now the 15th. So that's the motion we're going to vote on. Everyone understand? The 15th. All in favor, raise your clickers. Opposed. The motion fails, so we're back to the original motion. Further debate on the original motion. Please keep in mind that any motion has to pass with a 31 majority.
Okay, I'd like to propose a different amendment. Again, my name is Erica Davis. If our goal is to make Elections Week as inclusive of as many students as possible, I propose that we change the election period from the 13th, which would allow students who are not weekend students to be back for the first day of campaigning, to the 19th, which would extend it by 2 days. And that would include students of every single day of the week, Sunday through Saturday.
I have no objections.
Further discussion. So it would open up on April 13th, which I think is a Monday, and it would close on the 19th, which would be a Saturday, I think. Sunday, okay. No further debate on this. All right, it's okay. Let's vote on it. All in favor of the amendment. I'll repeat, April 13th to April 19th. Raise your clickers. Opposed. Motion fails. We're back to the original motion. All right, so we're voting on the original motion. And the original motion had the election starting on April 12th and ending on April 16th. Again, it has to have a vote of 31 in order to pass or fail. All in favor, raise your clickers. Okay. Opposed. Opposed. 31-8. The motion for the elections then passes. Any old business? New business? All right, second, very good. Thank you very much.
You can't get closer than that.
You were the key. It's good thing you didn't. It almost didn't answer. I think I'll put some vodka in the next. They won't know.
The guy gave me that extra load.
I didn't see it at the end.
It's 31 to 8 is 39.
39. Wow. It's always the same. How you doing? Suzanne Lee says hello.
Suzanne Lee. She's my next door neighbor. So we're always there.